Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
Hello, everyone. My name is Ben Mosier, and you're listening to the Agile Uprising podcast.
Greetings, and welcome to another edition of the Agile Uprising podcast. I am your host again, Jay Hursko. Joining me once again is my good friend and confidant, Troy Lightfoot. Troy, how are you?
I am doing very well. How are you, Jay?
I am fantastic. Thank you for asking. So in this episode, we're doing yet another Should I Take This Course? Like you probably heard in one of our previous episodes, most of us are staying current, taking classes, and we wanted to bring our experiences to the wider audience to point out, do you want to take this course? What's it involved? Is it worth my time? And tonight's course, I think, is going to be a very interesting topic between Troy and I. We're going to go through Scaled Agile's Lean Portfolio Management course, SAFE LPM. So this is going to be an interesting one because this is a little bit different and I would say exponentially tougher than the DevOps course Troy and I covered off in a previous episode. So Troy, let's start with, you are certified to teach this course. I went through as just a regular jabroni. How familiar were you specifically with this concept, with this idea of lean portfolio management before you actually went into the course?
Pretty familiar with it. I mean, I had studied the materials for LPM and I have some experience with lean startup and in portfolio management as well. So I would say fairly familiar.
Yeah. All right. I've done at this point when I took this course, I had done my SAFE Agilist, Scaled Agilist, whatever it is, basically the entry level SAFE wonk. So I have read the Lean Startup and read a bunch of material that actually gets referenced in the course, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But I wasn't at that full level of digging into the portfolio. So to me, it was very, very interesting, I will say, what I sat through for however many days it was, two or three. So let's start off, Troy. What did you think of let's start with, you're good at this, you're credited to teach it. Let's give an overview of when you say lean portfolio management, for the benefit of our listeners, what does that mean through the lens of the Scaled Agile framework? What does LPM mean?
So LPM is a cross-functional team made up of very senior leadership, and there's no one right formulation for this, but you're talking about people who are empowered to make strategic decisions and to prioritize large, in SAFE, they call them epic initiatives, right? Who have the ability to collaborate together and analyze metrics and data coming in from their own decision-making through a Kanban system. And what the whole idea is that we're going to enable business agility by using one portfolio for the lean portfolio management and using a lean startup method and approach in an enterprise. So that is that's kind of the point of the lean portfolio management team, a cross-functional senior team who can take enterprise strategy and they can create and craft strategic themes and portfolio vision and figure out what hypothesis do we need to test out and what type of metrics should we be using and then analyzing those metrics and all that. So that's something, those are some of the duties of the team, as well as governance and the operations of the portfolio itself. So you have things like LACE, who might be under there, but, you know, Agile Program Management. So it's not just the product side of things. It's not just the business side of things. And they're also responsible for funding and budgeting as well, using a lean type of approach to budgeting and not traditional budgeting.
Right. And that is where I think this course not threw me off, but I was a little bit a little frustrated as someone who's sitting through the course, where it kind of felt like this course was almost a kitchen sink approach.
Yep.
I have lean portfolio management, which if I close my eyes and I say those three words in a vacuum, I think of portfolio Kanban. I think of moving epics, right? I think about all the things we do in a team, but at a portfolio level. If I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to picture the safe diagram, I picture that top row. But like you said, as the course goes on, it goes into the weeds, right? So it starts out with the idea of an LPM, and you know, there's three basic responsibilities of LPM. It's, you know, strategy and investment funding, it's agile portfolio operations, and then it's lean governance. But then I thought the course sort of, it was too much at once, right? Because like you said, there's the idea of LACE, which is the Lean Agile Center of Excellence. And then they introduce participatory budgeting, and then they introduce agile contracts, and they introduce all this other stuff, all of which is very important, all of which is necessary and a necessity of realizing true business agility. But I kind of felt like, Troy, it was almost like a kitchen sink, like, hey, we're going to throw this in, we're going to throw this in, we're going to throw that in, we're going to throw that in. That being said, I will give the Scaled Agile folks credit. The way they weave the common thread through the coursework to make all these things relevant, it makes sense. Like, the narrative is there. But me personally, I'll be honest with you, man, I kind of felt like they were just throwing a whole bunch of shit in together to get your money's worth for the course.
I can understand that, but it's difficult because there's so much material and there's so much involved with lean portfolio management. I'm not sure exactly what would be a better approach. Maybe there is one, but I understand the kitchen sink analogy there. It definitely a lot in this course, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the heavier courses, and later we're going to talk about the exam. I mean, and you're absolutely right. So the other thing I noticed about this course is when you take this SA course, right, the Scaled Agilist or the SAFE Practitioner, whatever it is, a lot of that stuff is SAFE specific, right? This is the first SAFE course I sat through where I saw that they sucked in a lot of information from a lot of different places. So for example, when you go down the whole path of lean budgeting, right, they introduce the idea of three horizons, right, which is the old, was it McKinsey?
McKinsey.
Which is referenced in Lean Enterprise by Jez Humble and a couple other authors. It's also referenced, and I think Zone to Win talks about it as well. We're finding out where your stuff sits in what zone, and you know, budgeting for core business versus emerging versus growth. This is like the system of record, system of innovation, system of differentiation. Like I saw that, I'm like, oh, okay, so I've seen this before in different places. And there was a couple other spots where I picked up stuff and I went, oh, okay. So they're kind of sucking some things in from different parts of the greater Agile ecosystem, which I guess makes sense because, I mean, I read Lean Enterprise. So when I saw those horizons, I skipped that slide because I already knew what they were talking about. But I thought there was a lot of interesting information. So for those of you, for listeners, there's a lot of discussion around enterprise strategy, right? So that's really what it all starts with. Strategic themes, there's canvases. So there's a portfolio canvas with maintaining your portfolio vision. There's lean business cases, which I think are great, right? And the company I'm currently at, we're trying to get to the point where we're utilizing these all over the place. The idea of funding guardrails with capacity allocation, right? So there was a lot of great conceptual stuff in here, but again, I still came back to the, man, this is like a kitchen sink. And then there were lectures, there were videos, there's course material, there was supplemental articles to read after the class to pass the test, which we're going to talk about in a minute, which I thought there was a lot. And while all relevant, and I think you're right, Troy, it's easy for me to sit here and say, well, I can poke holes in it. I don't have a better solution. Maybe if I took the time to think about it, I would. But then again, I'm not getting paid to think about a better solution, so I really don't care. But I do think conceptually, like when it gets to the portfolio Kanban, right, how to walk your items through and whip at the portfolio level, and what is the definition of complete and done, and what is the hypothesis you're trying to prove. I thought that was really cool. And like you said, if the people in the course are leaders, people who are empowered to make these kind of decisions, I thought there was some worthwhile stuff in there.
Yep, I totally agree. I mean, I think it's really fundamental to I mean, my opinion to safe. I feel like without this, you don't really achieve the business agility that people are trying to get. So starting from top-down strategy all the way down to implementation and utilizing a lean startup method and mindset from the top is very, very powerful. And it's not the same at all when you implement it correctly compared to there's some complaints, you know, in the past of an ARC being like this feature factory or just a way to kind of do traditional project management in an agile way. In order for you to do lean portfolio management effectively, you kind of can't work like that. So I do think it's very important when it comes to scaling in regards to safe, at least, I would say.
Troy, I would actually agree, but then I would counter and say, I think this is an important concept, even if you're not doing safe, anybody who's doing a transformation. Right, you're spending money to change your modality of software and value delivery. This is, like you said, this is a key concept, a key core capability. This isn't contextual. This is core, right? Not safe. I mean, this would just be good agile at scale. I can't say scaled agile but it's you're trying to do agile at scale in an enterprise. You're trying to transform. You're trying to move to quicker, better, faster value delivery. I would argue that you need this almost. This is one of the first things you want to start working on, right? I would argue that.
So I'll say this, and I'm not going to go on a tangent here, I promise, but you know, there's a lot of talk out there in the community and on Twitter and everywhere else about how safe isn't agile, right? And I don't even understand what that really means, because what's the point of doing all of this stuff, right, is to be able to compete in the market, right, with your and survive, not only survive but flourish, right? So in order to do that, you have to quote unquote be agile, in the sense of you have to be able to pivot quickly, you have to be able to not get locked down to one solution and not be able to make changes, you have to be able to budget in such a way which allows you to pivot in these types of things. So this is what the lean portfolio management process, and which is a key competency of SAFe actually, is enabling when it's done correctly. And it's also bringing alignment across the organization, because this is a cross-functional team across the organization. So the decisions have to be made as a team, as a true agile team, basically, who's working in a Kanban system. They have to agree to priorities, to what thing comes next, and they have WIP limits, and they have a pull system, and all these types of things. So it's very powerful, and it actually can really help enable agility for the company, not just for one team. So I don't know, when someone says safe is an agile, I'm like, what do you mean by that? Because there's a lot of ways to achieve agility. I think using a framework like SAFe, like any framework, can be bastardized or can be ineffective. So it's only a matter of, you know, the behaviors behind it, the people behind it, and the seriousness of to not only how serious you're taking it, but actually how much you understand the why behind the practices that you're doing, in order to not make those pitfalls or falling back to the old way of doing things. So that's my little soapbox about SAFe. This is an example of like how it really can help enable agility for the
program. Right. And I will agree with you, but I will attempt to play devil's advocate. So I think that I'm speculating, right? I think that why some people say that SAFe isn't agile, right, is because there are, well, it's, I'm gonna two culprits, right? There are agile practitioners out there that are very dogmatic purists, that they want the company to completely reinvent their culture and change on a dime. And there are a lot of, let's be honest here, there are a lot of waterfall facets when you look at that big picture, and companies can adopt SAFe without making the giant step change, massive shifts. That's something like we were talking about before we recorded, large scale Scrum would require. So if I'm playing devil's advocate, that's my piece, right? Yeah. I'm not necessarily agreeing or disagreeing. I'm just saying, stepping outside my own perception, I can see where that's coming from. But then I would also say that if you're currently doing if you're delivering software with massive lead times and two deployments a year, SAFe is the right direction. I would almost argue, Troy, that the problem isn't SAFe. The problem is SAFe consultants. And this is another conversation for another episode. But that's if I'm speculating, that's where I think that's coming from. And back to the, I mean, back to the course itself, right? There, like you said, there are some really brilliant parts of this course. Like when they talk about the difference between traditional project portfolio management and lean portfolio management. So project cost accounting versus lean budgets and guardrails, or annual planning versus rolling wave, right? How many times have we been in a company where it hits October and they go, oh, we're going to show budget favorability. How do we burn all this stuff? Truth be told, that might've been how I got us to pay for a DevOps, safe DevOps class, but we'll come back to that later. perpetual overload of demand versus matching demand to capacity, right? There is a lot of really good here, but then I see stuff like the Agile Project Management Office. And Troy, I'll be honest with you, that's one of those things where it's like, you know, like that's where they don't, I mean, I will say Scale Agile does themselves no favors, because you'll get the dogmatic purist will see this and go, and I don't think I'm either of those things, and go, oh, why are we talking about a PMO? But if you think about it, if we're dealing with portfolios at the enterprise size, at the enterprise scale, multinational, large national companies, 10, 20, 30K plus people, you need somebody helping the air traffic control where all the pieces are going, right? Like it's a necessity in a complex system. You need a management system. I hate to say it, as complex as the system itself. So I get it. And I may not agree, but I get it. The lace part, I'm not gonna say I get that or agree with it. I hear Craig Larman in the back of my head where he's saying, if your company is spinning up a center of excellence, you have too much money to waste and your transformation is not going well. But again, that's another conversation for more beer. So let's talk about the exam, Troy. What did you think of the exam?
The exam is fairly difficult, I would say, compared to some of the other exams. And I think partly because there's so much information in the course itself. And a lot of times when you're taking a course, it's slide driven, a lot of it. And so there's only so much you can retain in during the day. And then there's only so much you can retain from someone reading off of slides. So, and it's usually something like, for most people, it's something like 10% over time or
right,
something.
10%, from slide. Yeah.
So, I think that kind of makes it, if you try to take the test right away, difficult, especially if you haven't been involved with this. If you're going just based off the course, for example, I think if you have done it, you can kind of rely on some experience maybe. But that doesn't necessarily equate to right answers on the test either. So I don't know. I mean, but sometimes a lot of these tests are like, what makes sense logically? What would you do in the situation? And that sometimes you don't know exactly the right answer. If you kind of go with your gut on that, that can work. But that works best if you have the experience there. So I would say if you haven't been involved with lean portfolio management, studying the white paper, studying the course materials would probably be very helpful. So Jay, I know you told me that you found this test a bit challenging, so you want to talk about your experience?
Yeah, so, and apologies, Kevin, here's our R rating. I thought this test was fucking brutal. I would rather do my own vasectomy than have to take this course again. So, and again, Troy, you know, we've talked about experience. Like, I've been around the block, right? I've done this before. I paid attention to the course. I have post-its. I can show you my book. I have post-its hanging out from the book where I made notes and all that sort of stuff. I took the practice exam within the first 72 hours because I wanted to see what I retained. I got a 65, which is just barely failing, right? 70 is passing. I went back, I watched all the videos, I read the white papers, I reread the book, I had a study group with other people at work, I took the practice exam again, and I got a 70, which is bottom of the barrel passing, right? And at this point, I'm starting to get pissed off because I like to think I know what I'm doing. And Troy, you'll remember, I looked you up on a Friday. I was giving you questions off my practice exam, and you and I were going back and forth for 10 minutes like, Troy, I don't understand that because why isn't it C? And then you're like, well, the wording is a little bit dicey, so maybe it's actually B, right? So I honestly think, and I think this is almost purposefully obtuse in a way that, you're right, it is difficult because the class is very much a kitchen sink approach to portfolio management. I think there's a lot of concepts in there. Like the questions went from portfolio canvas to a lean business case to who is the beneficiary of an agile contract to all that sort of CapEx, OpEx, all that wonky, crazy stuff. I think that's part of it. But I also think, like, honestly, enough is enough, right? Like I had an agile coach tell me that they took the SPC exam, which is the class that, for those of you who don't know, that is the class Troy has passed, Andrew Leff has passed, that allows you to teach safe courses. And I had an SPC tell me they thought the SPC exam was easier than the LPM exam, which gives me a little bit of hope because I'm eventually going to take that stupid SPC thing. but I thought it was brutal. Now, true confession, I took the test. I passed it on the first try. I think I got like an 82 or an 84, something like that. But that's because my boss took amazing notes and her and I literally studied like I was trying to win a spelling bee in grammar school, like flashcards in the whole nine. So right. I do think it is very, honestly, my honest opinion is, which we're going to get to the question, should I take this course? I think it is very difficult. I think, dovetailing into the next question, should you take this course? Yes, I definitely would take it with people you know, people mm-hmm. who are either in the LPM role in your current organization or who do PMO stuff or they do portfolio, you know, strategic planning and prioritization, because I think it would be helpful to, obviously, courses are always better when you're sitting with someone who you know because you can bounce experiences off each other. But I really think that's the key to passing this course is taking it with other people you know who you can study together. That was my test, man. I thought it was brutal. So what do you think, Troy? So who should take this course?
People involved in portfolio management. I would say enterprise architects. Let's see.
Right, there is a big we didn't touch on that, but there's a big piece of architecture here where the Three Amigos approach is involved with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah. So people that might be in an Agile PMO, for example, would be good if you're already there. And someone maybe trying to break into the lean portfolio management space or portfolio management, maybe, and this could be a way to learn a lot more about it, you know, to get involved with it. Because sometimes it's not easy to get the experience with it, obviously. So the first step is to try to learn the basics and the basics here is the kitchen sink, I guess. So, so it's not, the test might be a little difficult in that scenario, but I would say, you know, even executives, I think would be very beneficial if you're going through an agile transformation, if you're an executive or a very senior and a senior vice president, for example, would be perfect for this. It is 3 days. It is a lot of time, but by the end, you'll come out with probably a much better understanding of it than before you went in, I would guess. So,
I would also, to your point, Troy, about executives, I would also say anyone that's involved with funding, portfolio funding, right? Because we all know that based upon the episode we just did about Transformation 20 Questions, one of the hardest departments in a transformation to actually tackle is finance, right? And how we fund initiatives, funding value streams and teams and trains as opposed to programs and projects. I think anybody that has anything to do with funding would want to sit in on this class. I would think it would be worthwhile. The participatory budgeting, I think that's, I'm going to be honest with you, I think it's a little bit of like pie in the sky, lofty aspirational stuff. I'll be curious to see in further revisions of this course if that concept sticks around or if it kind of just falls by the wayside. However, I did like, there were parts of that I did think were interesting to think of. So thinking of your run costs versus your grow costs, you know, budgeting run costs to start and then seeing what do you have left in the grow bucket. Anybody who's doing anything with funding or budgetary stuff, I think it would be beneficial to see how the gratuitous air quotes, the agile side does it. In my class that I took, there were people from IT finance, portfolio finance. There were people from LPM functions across the organization. There were solution train engineers. There were people like me who were just going to understand. There were scrum masters in there. And we had a lot of really good conversation around how the book says it should work, but then how are we doing it in my current company? And there was a lot of bouncing ideas off of, okay, so the book says this, but we're doing this. Are we right? Are we wrong? And or are we just finding our own way? So there was a lot of really good dialogue there. I would echo your point. Anybody who's involved in an LPM function, I think it would be worthwhile if you're in a PMO, definitely sit through it. I definitely think there's a lot to get out of it, but you, after listening to this episode, you've been warned. I don't think I'm a dummy. You know, we may get off the call and Troy may say, Jay, you're an idiot, but I don't think I'm a dummy, and I still thought that the test was, I don't think the coursework was hard. I think the test was almost needlessly brutal, like punishing. But I passed it, so whatever. I guess I really can't complain. Troy, final thoughts on the course.
The course itself, I would say, 3 days, pretty big time investment, a lot of slides. So take a lot of notes. That would be my thoughts on that. The subject matter though, for the most part is very good, and it could be really be beneficial for an organization, any organization, I believe. Maybe not every context, but for most organizations, I think it'd be very beneficial. So
I would concur. I would say if you can find a way to get this course in the public sphere, which surrounded by people who you don't necessarily know, take one or two people with you. The other option is get an SPC in your organization who is approved to teach it and get them to do it a couple times. That's how we did it in my company, and it was really beneficial, not only the learning, but also to be in the room and hear the conversations going on. Because like I said, it's a couple of days, it's a healthy investment of time. But the conversations that happen over the break or over a cup of coffee about, oh, so we just learned this and we don't do anything close to that, how do we fix it, I think is definitely worthwhile.
Yeah.
All right, Troy. Well, thank you once again very much for your time. Thank you to our listening audience for listening to Troy and I ramble again. If you enjoyed the episode, please give us a review, a rating on iTunes or Stitcher, your podcast platform of choice. I did go on and look at some of our reviews. A couple of people really didn't like us, which I thought was kind of amusing. If it's your first time tuning in, you can subscribe. We have multiple modalities to talk and chat with the group. We have a very robust Discord instance. There are people always chatting. There are probably people chatting right now. We have the Coalition site. We've got Twitter. We've got stuff everywhere. LinkedIn. Get in. Join the conversation. We do have a Patreon. So, again, we are totally free and funded out of our own pockets. However, if you feel like chipping in a few bucks, sign up for Patreon. Maybe you get a surprise gift in the mail. We do have some funny stuff we've been sending out lately. So thanks again to our listeners. Troy, thanks again to you. And until next time, this is the Agile Uprising Podcast signing out.
First taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.